Okay, so here's the word of the Lord that I just stumbled across. I wasn't looking for anything, but I stumbled across, and this is my heart. This just ministered to me, and again, it was when I was listening to a teaching of Kenneth Hagin's, and this is a word that I thought was very encouraging. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, some would say, and I'm not necessarily talking about our church and what our church is saying, but you hear this said about different churches, okay? Some would say our church is a singing church. Others would say our church is a word church. Some have said our church is a faith church. Some have said our church is a church of power. But saith the Lord, I am seeking for a praying church. A praying church. You know, that's the only way anything is going to get done. I've already said that, but I can't get that across enough. Okay? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's just really time to get serious about prayer. Time. That is your survival line. That is your survival line. I'm serious. We can't sit back. The church has sat back too long already. The church has sat back and done nothing. That's why we're in the mess we're in. We can't do that anymore. The church has to rise up. Has to rise up and pray. Church has to rise up and pray. Okay, it has to be the prayer warrior that we've been called to be with the armor of God. With the armor of God. Amen? Okay, that's a little bit later, Lord. I'm seeking for those that will wait upon me. For you can never sing like you ought to sing until you have waited upon me. Do you find that to be true? Do you find that to be true? When you've waited upon the Lord and you sought him, and you've prayed in the Spirit and you've sought him, and you seek the Lord and you praise and you worship, the freedom, there's so much more freedom because there's more of God in you than the flesh. Okay? So it makes worshiping and praising him so much easier. For you can never sing like you ought to sing until you have waited upon me, saith the Lord of hosts. For you can never praise like you should praise, and for you can never walk in faith to the extent you should walk in faith until you have waited, and prayers are as much a part of your being. That this is what needs to be. Praying needs to be as much a part of your being as you breathing, taking breath. That it needs to be. Because we are a spirit being first, right? We are a spirit being first, and we have a soul, and we live in a body. So it's the body area that needs to breathe to stay alive, but praying should be just as relevant and more so praying out of our spirit man should be just as relevant. You have waited, and let's see, let me start back up here. I'm seeking for those that will wait upon me, for you can never sing like you ought to sing, and to have waited upon me, saith the Lord of hosts. For you can never praise like you should praise, and for you can never walk in faith to the extent you would walk in faith, and to have waited, and prayers are as much a part of your being as breathing is of your physical man. You can never really enjoy the fullness of the word, and the power will never be in full manifestation. The power will never be in full manifestation. Until you become known as a praying church. So you want the power and manifestation in your life? What do we need to do? Pray. I'm not saying you have to be here, but there's times when we have corporate prayer and that's important. But praying causes that power to manifest in your life. You know, and I added in there my own, praying keeps you in the love of God. The love of God manifesting in your life is another thing that this, see, all the prayer, all that praying does is it causes us to walk in love. It causes us to be built up in our faith. It causes us to praise and worship and sing praises. Amen? Praying in the Spirit. Okay, let's look at in the Amplified, Psalms 62:8. Psalm 62:8. Psalm 62:8. Trust, lean on, rely on, and have confidence in Him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, a fortress and a high tower. A fortress and a high tower. Pour out your heart. How do you pour out your heart? I'm sure you've all been to a football game or a baseball game or a basketball game where you poured out your heart, right? Poured out your heart. Cheerleading. Poured out your heart. Well, see, we need to pour out our heart spiritually to the Lord. Pour out your heart. See, pouring out your heart is you just get so full on the inside that you want to just pour your heart out to God. And that's what you need to do. Now, you may not have every jot, everything dotted just right, or every comma in the right place, or maybe you got a wrong word in there. But see, God's grace, He wants to hear from us. He wants you to pour out His heart. He loves you so much, He wants to know what's going on in your life. You've always got somebody to talk to. You always have somebody to talk to, and that's your Father. You always have somebody to talk to, and it's your Father. God is so good. You hear me say that all the time, but I know I've experienced it. He is so good. God is so good. And he wants to hear from you. Besides, He already knows what's going on the inside of you. Before you even talk to Him, He knows. So you just as well talk to Him about what's going on. And then that way He can help you fix it. And when He helps you fix it, He's going to give you the very best thing out of that whole situation. He's going to give you the very best thing. Now, you can't tell me there's people sitting in here that don't want the very best thing in their life. You can't tell me there's people sitting here that don't want to be blessed. Right? You all want to be blessed, don't you? You all want the very best thing in your life. You all want to prosper and go somewhere in your life, right? I'm sure you do. I mean, I do. I don't really hear a lot of jumping up and down and hollering. And, you know, we all want that. Well, prayer brings that around. If you're in a really tight spot and you're in a mess, and I know most of you all been in a mess, or most of you are maybe going to experience a mess next week, do you know who's the one that can show you the way out? Do you know? Who's the one that's going to show you the way out? Your Father. He's made a way of escape out of every situation. Every situation. God is so good that way. And He loves us so much. So much so that He's grieved if you don't spend time with Him. He's saddened by the state of affairs if you don't spend time with Him. He's saddened by you not talking to Him. He's saddened by it. He's grieved by it. He wants you just to pour out your heart to Him. Pour out your heart to Him. He wants you to pour out your heart. And like I said, you don't have to have it all right. You just pour out your heart, and I'll tell you, after you have done that, it just feels, can I use that word? Feels so good. Because He's got it all now, and He's going to take it. He's going to make, what's He going to make with it? Bread pudding? He's going to make something yummy out of it, okay? All right, so pour out, spill forth, gush out, pour out oneself. So see, you can change any situation through prayer. You can change an atmosphere through prayer. Any situation. Say, I can.
I can.
I can.
I can.
Change any
situation.
Any atmosphere. Anything that is not God's will. I can change anything that is not God's will through prayer. How can that be? how can that be? How can that be? Why is God that big? Why is He a big enough God that He can do that? Huh? See, that can be because you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. And the minute you do that, you step into His divine plan of protection for you. You step into His divine plan of blessing for you. Amen? So that if you're in that place of protection and blessing all the time, you know what? If you have a need or if there's a problem going on, you say, Dad, Dad, you see what's going on? That so-and-so did that to me, and I don't know if I should do this or what should I do. He's listening. He's going to tell you exactly what to do. He is. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. He is a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. He talks spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. And the minute he's explained to you what's going on, then it's yours to have to know what to do. Amen? Okay. So we already talked about, otherwise, why did Jesus, the disciples saw different things that Jesus was doing. He said, tell us, teach us how to pray. And it's really simple. It's thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, if there's strife and famine and all kinds of things, that isn't God's will, is it? It isn't God's will. It's his kingdom come, your will, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Okay, so let's look at 1 Timothy, the Amplified. 1 Timothy. I could not get anything for today except pour out your heart. Pour out your heart. Pour out your heart. And they think if there's anything, just like you saw me pouring out my heart. Well, maybe you couldn't understand everything. I tried to do some of it in English. But pouring out my heart made a difference in whatever situation that was. That situation could have been one person in here that wasn't in a place of being able to believe God today. Amen? Just think about it. God interceded. God had you on my heart so that I could pray and you guys would hear the Lord. It's amazing. You think computers have a handle? We have a handle? Do you think computers are something? You ought to spend time with God in the spirit realm. Computers are nothing. really, they're nothing. Computers are nothing compared to being able to stand in the gap for somebody. And you're in such a dark place. And all of a sudden, it breaks open. It breaks open. And you know that person is set free. Now, they have to walk it out, of course. But, oh, my goodness, that's amazing. That is so amazing to me. And it's more fun to watch it happen in the natural then. Mm-hmm. Josh is an example of that. Josh is an example of that, standing in the gap on his behalf. God is so good. Amen? Amen. God is so good. And it's really a very fun place to be. Like I said, it's way better than trying to do your computer. Anyway. Okay, spirit realm is a fun place. Amen? 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, then I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and I'm in the Amplified, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of some men. Huh? All men. All men. Okay. How are we going to do that? How do we pray for all men if God tells us to pray for somebody that's in a southern part of Mexico? How are we going to do that? How do we pray? Spirit, in the spirit. We pray in the spirit. There is no distance in the spirit realm. There is no distance. There is no distance. When I get the nudge to pray for somebody and I go to stand in the gap, it's like I'm right there where they are. They can be clear down in Mexico. They can be in Japan or wherever they are. When the Lord taps me to pray, I go stand right there, right where they are, and I know exactly what's going on with them. You understand what I'm saying? I know exactly what's going on with them and what they need and what God has tapped me to pray for that person. And then, see, that's all of that's available for you. Anybody can do that. Anybody can, because it's spirit to spirit. It's not flesh to flesh. It's spirit to spirit. Amen? There's a lady that in the United States, and I was just reading an article about, she had been sick, and she'd been standing and believing God, and it kept getting worse and worse. She had a friend in Germany. I don't know if this friend knew anything about it, but she picked up the burden for this lady. She started interceding for this lady. coming against the sickness and disease, and all of a sudden she saw these hands that were choking life out of her. So she started coming against that, breaking the power of that demonic. See, it's all demonic, breaking the power of that demonic manifestation. And then what she did was, then there was the word of God she used. The word of God is our sword. Remember, we have weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. You all are sitting with armor on, but you're not all using your armor, of course. You know, but anyway, she used that sword and wielded it against the demonic influences, broke the power of that, and that lady was healed, even though she was clear here in the United States. She was healed. Intercession can bring a healing to someone as well. Okay, so how many intercessors do we have now? Big hands up. All right, so amplified. First of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men, for kings, and all who are in positions of authority. Is that our president? Is that our council here? Is that our governor? Oh, okay. Or for kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may pass a quiet. This is so we pray so we can have a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. So we admonish, I urge you that petition, prayers, intercession, and thanksgivings are given up on behalf of people. So we talked about praise and worship last week. Praise and worship is really important. When you've stood in the gap for somebody, it's always important to praise and thank the Lord. A lot of times he'll just prompt you to do that anyway. You heard me prompt. I was prompted to do that. He'll prompt you to do that anyway. But it's important that we do that. So let's look at Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. So I'm sure you know, I really like talking about this area. And it's grievous to me that the church, a lot of this has been lost in the church, the groaning, travailing, and the intercession. A lot of it's been lost, but I believe it's coming back. It's going to be taught. It's going to be taught. I don't know if I'm the one to do it, but it's going to be taught, you know. It's going to be made known in the church. Can you hear the roar of the church? The roar of the church in intercession. The roar of the church in intercession. Pulling down strongholds and everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. The church coming together in corporate anointing can pull down the stronghold of homosexuality. Amen. The church coming together in corporate anointing can pull down the stronghold of abortion. That's our job. That's our job. That's the church's job, to pull those strongholds down so that we can live a peaceable life. Amen? Amen. Okay. Okay, Isaiah 59. Okay, so Isaiah 59, chapter, I think it's 1. Yeah, it's 1. Okay, so this is amplified. This was kind of a long whole, but you'll see this is kind of like what we're talking about with our country right now, but it also can be individual. Behold, verse 1, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear dull with deafness that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wickedness. Does all that sound kind of familiar? None sues or calls in righteousness, but for the sake of doing injury to others, to take some undue advantage. No one goes to law honestly and pleads in truth. They trust in emptiness, worthlessness, and futility, and speaking lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth evil. They hatch adder's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies. From an egg which is crushed, a viper breaks out. For their nature is ruinous, deadly evil. It's a good example. It's a clear picture of what's going on in our nation. Their webs will not serve as clothing, nor will they cover themselves with what they make. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their paths and highways. The way of peace they know not. There is no justice or right in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whoever goes in them does not know peace. Therefore, our justice and right from us, and righteousness and salvation do not overtake us. We expectantly wait for light, but only see darkness for brightness, but we walk in obscurity and gloom. A lot of the church has been waiting for the light. Waiting for the light. No kidding. I'm talking about past years of experience where I thought that's what we were to do, was to wait for the light. Wait for Jesus to come back. Oh, he's going to come, but occupy till he comes. Well, occupy. What is occupy? What is occupy? It's doing the works of the Lord. It's preaching the gospel, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Okay, the works of the Lord. We're supposed to be doing that. There are justice and right far from us, and righteousness and salvation do not overtake us. We expectantly wait for light, but only see darkness. For brightness, we talk in obscurity and gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. Yes, we grope as they who have no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the twilight, in dark places and among those who are full of life and vigor. We are dead men. We are as dead men. And let's see, verse 11. We all groan and growl like bears and moan plaintively like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. Have you been looking for justice lately? And there hasn't been any? It's going to happen. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, O Lord, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know and recognize them as rebelling and denying the Lord and turning away from following our God. Does that sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and muttering and moaning from the heart words of falsehood. Justice is turned away backward, and righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God stands far off. For truth has fallen in the city's forum, and uprightness cannot enter the courts of justice. Truth has a hard time coming into the courts of justice. Amen. Verse 15, yes, truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Uh-oh. If you depart. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey, meaning the enemy will come after you. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, and there was no justice, because nobody was separating themselves from the evil. Okay, and so then verse 16, here we go. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor, no one to intervene on behalf of truth and right. Therefore, his own arm brought him victory, and his righteousness, having the spirit without measure, sustained him. Verse 17, for the Lord put on righteousness. Okay, who is he talking about? Was the intercessor there? Who's a good example of intercession? Jesus is. Jesus is our intercessor, but he has also stood in the gap for us so that sin isn't a part of our life, sickness and disease isn't a part of our life, fear isn't a part of our life. He took that. He stood in the gap. He stood in the gap for each one of us and took it all on himself so that we don't have to take it on and we don't have to walk into hell with it on our backs. He took it on us so that we can walk free from sin and sickness and disease. He took it on himself. He took it on. He took it on. Just like an intercessor goes to stand in the gap for somebody that's in a place of sin and discouragement, in a place of darkness and foreboding, in a place like that, Jesus took that. Jesus took that. And so as an intercessor, we go to stand in that same place. Amen. We go to stand in that same place that Jesus did, bringing the captive free. Bringing the captive free. Okay? So, for the Lord put on righteousness as a breastplate and a coat of mail, and salvation for a helmet upon his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal, and furious divine jealousy as a cloak. Okay, he stood in our place. But then he also gave us the armor. We have the armor. He put on some of the same armor. Did you see that? Okay. Hey, Nick, why don't you come up here? And Sky, why don't you come up here? So I'm just going to have, okay, Nick, turn around this way and face that way. Sky, come over here and stand right here. Okay, do you know that you've been given a measure of faith? We have the shield of faith. We've been given the faith that we need. Okay, so, in the army of the Lord, the shield of faith, when they go into the army of the Lord, they measure. So the shield of faith is as tall and covers everything. So your shield of faith is a little bit bigger than your shield of faith. That doesn't mean anything, though, okay? You still have a shield of faith. You have a measure of faith. And, of course, his shield is going to be way bigger yet, okay? But he's given you a measure of faith. Now, it's got to do with what God's called you to do and what he's working you through and everything that is going to be yours to do. So you have a shield of faith that's going to cover all of this. You have a shield of faith that's going to cover all of this, and you have a shield of faith that's going to cover all of that. Amen? So you implement that shield of faith by praying in your prayer language, by walking through some of the things and confessing the word of God. Your faith will grow, and just picture it, start filling the shield. It's not going to get any bigger than that. But you're going to have to implement it, see? You're going to have to be the one to use it and do it and put it to work. Whether you're standing in the gap or whether you're believing God for healing, whatever you're doing, you have to implement that shield of faith. Everybody has one. Everybody's been given a measure of faith, a shield of faith that is going to protect you, is going to take care of you, but you're going to have to use it. Now, if you're in the army, are you going to put that shield down and just stand there? Huh? No, why would you do that? Then here comes an arrow, pow, just like that. Yeah, where was your shield? where was your shield? Where are your shields? You got them up? You got them protecting you? You got them covering all those vital parts? Yeah, we should have. We should have. Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, we should have our shields up, especially when you're in intercession, because the devil doesn't like you standing in the gap for someone else. He doesn't want that person free, and he's going to let you know he doesn't want him free. But your shield of faith is up. Shield of faith is up to quench those fiery darts so that the enemy can't get to you. No, there's been times I've experienced not having my shield up. Sorry. Anyway. So that time I had to stand against the sickness and disease to get the, yeah, I didn't have my shield up, and I took on a spirit of fear when I prayed for somebody. And so my shield was not up in place. So I had to repent, and then I quickly got my shield in the right position and believed God for healing and restoration of my body, and it did come. So, but see, that's why we have these weapons, and you don't just take them off when you go to bed and put them on in the morning. Why would you do that? The enemy's very busy at night anyway. He's very busy at night. And if you don't know that, you just go out and deliver papers in the middle of the night. You'll know he's very busy at night. Anyway, so, okay. So let's, okay, I think we're still going here. I just talked about the armor, but if you're taking notes, that's in Ephesians 6, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Okay, and then the measure of faith that I talked about is Romans 10, 23, if you're taking notes. So Jesus is a picture of our intercessor standing in the gap. Jesus took on the sin. And let's go on with them, verse 19, back to Isaiah. I want you to see, So as the result, verse 19 in Isaiah 59, so as a result of the Messiah's intervention, they shall reverently fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and put him to flight, for he will come like a rushing stream which the breath of the Lord drives. He shall come as a redeemer to Zion and to those in Jacob, Israel, who turn from transgression, says the Lord. So he's going to come as a redeemer for you. Are you Zion? Do you know what Zion? Zion is the church. Okay, and in verse 21, as for me, this is my covenant or league with them, says the Lord. My Spirit, who is upon you and who writes the law of God inwardly in your heart, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your true spiritual children or out of the mouth of your children's children, says the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. And in verse, and goes on to chapter 60, Isaiah 60. And it talks, I mean, you can go ahead and read that, that the wealth of the nations is given to them, and they come and they receive all that wealth. And it goes on, talks about possessing the land. But the turning point was Jesus as the intercessor. That was the turning point. Our turning point for us and this nation is the church being the intercessor. Amen? That's the turning point. That's the turning point for any situation that you're in, is Jesus being the intercessor. And so there is intercession. I'll just give you these. We'll not go there because we're already after 12. Joshua 7, 2, verses 6 and 7, and verse 11. Israel did not win the battle, and they should have. There was only very few men that were required to win this battle, but yet they lost. The enemy killed 35 or 36 people, but yet they lost. And Joshua just rent his clothes, and he got before the Lord, and he cried unto the Lord, wanting to know. So he was interceding to find out what had gone wrong. And see, you can intercede on that too. Like if you know there's something amiss, but you just don't know what it is, and you can intercede, and the Lord revealed to him that there was sin in the camp. There was sin in the camp. And so that caused them the loss of that war. So once Joshua did not know who it was, but once he started, the Lord told him what to do, and he brought every family across. And when that happened, he was able to realize who it was, and that sin was removed from the camp, and that whole the whole family, children, everything was removed from the camp. They were dealt a terrible blow. I mean, I'm not going to go into details, but anyway, they were all removed from the camp. Sin has no place in the camp. Amen. If we're going to have a unit that prays and corporate praise and corporate worship, and we're going to have corporate prayer, there's no room for sin in the camp. Amen. Amen. So also there's an intercession that, you remember Abraham stood in the gap for Lot, and he kept saying, God, if there's 50, will you spare the city? God says, yeah. If there's 45, will you spare the city? God says, yeah. If there's 40, yeah, I'll do that. I think he jumped down to 30 then or something, but he kept going down and down and down. So I think he got to 10, and then Abraham was done and God left. And I don't think there was that many in Lot's group, but anyway, they were all spared because Abraham stood in the gap for his brother and they were delivered. Okay. So, then there's a type of intercession that can be done to get the victory. I believe it was Ai. Let's see, am I thinking that right? Ai, where they went to get the victory, Moses had his hands lifted up and he would get tired and his hands would go down. He was standing in the gap for the victory, but his hands would get tired. When his hands started going down, they started losing the battle. So finally, they put a rock over here and somebody sat and held this arm up, and then they held the other arm up. So they keep his arms up and they got the victory. They got the victory. They got the victory. They won the war. Amen. They won the war. So I've talked to you about there being no distance. I've talked about being obedient. and just recognizing the burden that you have, and then when you have a release from the prayer. And let's look at one last scripture verse, please, in Galatians 4:19. Galatians 4:19. One last scripture verse. That was a real fast summary on intercession, but I certainly hope you all learned something about intercession, that it's not scary. It's not scary, guys. It isn't something to be afraid of, because, see, it's the Holy Spirit, and if you never yield to it, it won't happen. It won't happen. I was in a big Southwest Believers Convention in Texas, and, yeah, and there was a threat on Kenneth Copeland's life in that meeting. I didn't know that, but anyway, Norval Hayes came out and he said, we need to pray and intercede for Kenneth Copeland. I don't know if anybody had tried anything yet, but he started the intercession, and that place, I mean, it was a big stadium. There must have been 25,000 people. Can you imagine the roar? Can you imagine the roar when everybody started groaning and travailing? I mean, that was the first time I'd heard anything like that. And people were, oh, my goodness. And the four of us that were there for that, we looked at each other like, okay. You know, but I remember saying, Lord, I want to be able to do that. You know, and so, but it was just a big roar in that whole stadium. Pretty soon there was a big thud, and Norval Hayes fell out in the spirit. Nobody was behind him. He just was interceding, got into a place in the spirit, and just boom. And so he was standing in the gap for the situation that was going on. And everybody was praying and interceding for him, for the whole situation. And so that was my first experience of hearing the groaning and travailing. I thought, oh, Lord, I want to be able to do that. I want to do that, you know. So that's the only time I've ever heard it. I haven't run into anybody else that does this. Anyway, it's okay because there's going to be more people. No kidding. Anyway, so 4:19, Galatians 4:19 says, my children with whom I am again in labor, and King James, I believe, is travail. Is that correct? And my children with whom I am again in travail until Christ is formed in you. So Paul was again in travail, in intercession, in standing in the gap until Christ was formed in them. So you can stand in the gap and make the path ready for them to get born again. But at the same time, Paul had to pray again. He had to stand in the gap until Christ was formed in them. So just know that if you're standing in the gap, let's say somebody's an alcoholic, if you're standing in the gap for that person, you bind that spirit of alcohol, you command it to go. At the same time, you're groaning and travailing and you're causing Christ to be formed in them. Amen? Christ, see, because when you get rid of the junk, what else is going to move in? I mean, if they're in a place where they're hearing the word and making a decision to serve God. Now, when you do stand in the gap, they have to make that decision to walk after the things of God. They have to do that. They have to make a decision. And if they don't, no big deal. We just stand in the gap again until they make that decision. And if they don't, no big deal. We stand in the gap again until they make that decision. Amen? You just keep doing it. You keep doing it, and God's mercy and His grace is so new every morning. He so wants everybody to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want anybody perishing and going to hell. You think about your closest friend or your dad or your mom, and if they don't know the Lord, you want them to know the Lord. Say you got a grandpa and a grandma. You want them to know and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen? You guys want to? God is so good, isn't He? He is so good. So I'm just believing He'll take all these little things that I shared today. I know I've talked about prayer before, but I really want to inch over there into that area of groaning and travailing, because shouldn't be foreign to our ears. It shouldn't be foreign to our ears. It's something that is okay to do. It's something that's okay to do, because you get such a burden on the inside of what God wants changed or what God wants done. You just groan it out. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you don't understand what that means. God knows what it means. God knows exactly what you're saying. He knows exactly what you're saying in your prayer language. He knows exactly what I said up here earlier. He knows exactly. We don't have to be concerned about it because it's Him that we've taken a hold together with, and He's praying through us. Amen? Praying through us. That's what we want. We want Him to pray through us, and then we know we're getting His perfect will. Amen? Amen. Okay? So we're gonna pray for Jacob. We're going to pray for Jacob. Jacob, would you come up here, please? Did you want to share anything? Okay. Yeah, I was just going to do that.
Oops. So we're really proud.
It's on, yeah.
It's on.
We're really proud of Jacob. Jacob's going to be going to Teen Challenge this week.
Yes. Amen. Yay.
So we're going to pray for him right now.
Yes, yes, amen. Yes. This is a wonderful opportunity for him. So just extend your faith towards him so that we can bless him as he goes while he's there in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name for your blessing upon Jacob from the top of his head to the tip of his toe. We thank you, Father, that you are stepping every step off for him, bringing him into a place of help and wholeness and life and peace and joy. And we thank you, Father, that your instruction is on ears that want to hear and want to change and want to do what your will is for his life. In Jesus' name, we just ask you to bless him abundantly above all he could ask or think. That is a supernatural intervention, a supernatural working in his life, bringing about your will. And we want to praise you and thank you, Father, for your delivering power on his behalf. And we give you all the praise and the glory, all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And we just loose that blessing right now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
We also want to share, too, that we're praying at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Kaylin has court, and she's been accepted into Teen Challenge in Utah. Jacob's going to be going to Teen Challenge in Kansas. And so we're praying that the judge will allow her to go to Utah. She was accepted there 18 months ago, and she got stopped the last time. So we're hoping for a breakthrough tomorrow morning. So I'd like to pray for her too.
Yeah,
Lord, we
go
just
ahead.
Lift up Kaylin to you as well. Lord, we just pray that your favor will be on the juvenile court officer who's writing the recommendation to the judge. God, we just pray that the judge and the county attorney and Kaylin's attorney and everybody will be in agreement to release her, that there would be nothing to stop her this time.
Yes.
And we just look forward to the day when she's well and whole and
a warrior for you, Father.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
We just believe for her to be a warrior, Father. You've showed us that she is a warrior for you. And, Father, we call that into manifestation right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for your healing virtue that goes forth on both her and Jacob in Jesus' name, and that they both are mighty warriors for you in Jesus' name, and that you're bringing about your will, your plans and purposes, and wholeness manifesting from the top of their head to the tip of their toe. And I thank you, Father, that the joy of the Lord is their strength, and that, Father, there are new adventures for them that they have never, ever experienced before. And we just want to praise you and thank you. And we thank you, Father, that you move upon the judge tomorrow. You cause the judge to have a heart of compassion for Kaylin, and that, Father, she finds favor with the judge, and that, Father, the right words are spoken. And if there's any wrong words, that you shut the mouth in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And we just thank you, Father, for your glory manifesting in that courtroom tomorrow, and your glory manifesting in Utah and in Kansas. And we just thank you, Father, and we look forward, Father, for your report, a good report in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I went and got, and we'll just pray one more thing. I went and got the food cards. It was a trick, but I got them. I got them done. Anyway, these are going to be for the farmers. Farmers that, remember I asked you if you had farmers that were on your heart that could use a gift card, a food gift card, please let me know. So they are now available, so please let me know. Anyway, so extend your hands one more time, please. I'm going to... Father, we just thank you for your anointing upon these gifts, Father. I do believe that was your plan and purpose, and that was your will to do this. Father, we ask you to locate the right people that you want to have these cards and to bring them forth or show us who they are. And we thank you, Father, that you bless them abundantly above all they could ask or think, and that we call them into a place of salvation if they're not saved. And we just want to give you all the glory and the honor. And we thank you, Father, that as we lay our hands on these, they are anointed and they bring a heart change, a deliverance, a healing, and a salvation to whoever touches them, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.